Hey everyone, welcome to a very special episode of Was That in Good Taste? You're probably asking yourself, why is it so special? And I'm going to tell you right after this. My name is Chandler Phillips, and with me as always is...
James Beery, that's me.
Before we do stuff, like, comment, subscribe, call to action. Remember, we subsist off of your engagement.
Without you, we are nothing. We exist not when this camera's off.
And the reason this episode is so special and fun is because we're figuring out how do you do anything, things, do you even do things?
And how do you do them?
The orders of operations that run our mundane existence and how you convince yourself that some things are the right things and other things are the wrong way to do things.
So, AKA the right way to do things versus the wrong way to do things.
Precisely. And to start that off, we have a very fun little cocktail that we found courtesy of Cocktail Flow. We aren't sponsored by them, but we do
take their cocktails, make them poorly, and then present them to you.
As if they're original material, but in actuality, it's just kind of...
We changed something.
Our little take.
Who's to say that they can say it's the right way if they want.
But I kind of like our way of doing things.
And what's our way of doing it?
Well, real quick, I just want to give credit where credit's due.
Okay.
This is based on the El Presidente, courtesy of Smuggler's Cove by Martin Kate with Rebecca Kate. They are the founders and owners of Smuggler's Cove, and it's one of the most acclaimed tiki bars of the modern era. This is, again, courtesy of Cocktail Flow. So, it is not original material.
We're learning. We're exploring. Come on.
From the Depression era, and it has a bunch of different tiki cocktails, tropical cocktails, etc. And check out their book. It's pretty dope. And that's where we got the El Presidente. It is...
white rum.
Dry vermouth.
Dry curacao.
And grenadine. And that is what constitutes the traditional, or at least the recipe that I'm looking at here. But we didn't have any dry vermouth. So you know what we did?
No, we didn't have dry curacao.
We had dry vermouth. We don't usually have dry vermouth, and we had dry vermouth on hand today. We did not have dry curacao. So instead, we used a little Cointreau, because it kind of does the same thing. Like curacao, it's what we talked about, the blue curacao, it is of a fruit.
Yes, a citron.
Of the Caribbean?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, God. Yes.
This is
called a carousel, I believe.
And when you don't add a fuck ton of blue food coloring to it, you just have dry curacao. And it's essentially just a citrus-based sweet liqueur. So
we don't have.
So Cointreau kind of filled that space. I have it already pre-made, pre-mixed in the glass.
And we've also a big sip taken out of it. Okay, so this is, I already got to say that's you can't start drinking it before we start talking about it.
I had to taste it in order for us to know that it was worth presenting to our audience.
Then you're not giving them the original, like.
So in this situation, what comes first? The tasting, the preparation, or just having any general idea of what this episode was going to be about to start off?
Well, I think that you need to make sure your glass is properly chilled, as it is.
Is that specifically for the El Presidente?
Kind of beverages that are in kind of like a martini glass. Mm. Mm-hmm. The beverage, which was made, then chilled to be at an appropriate temperature.
And you've already pre-mixed these ingredients at a chilled temperature.
I did, of course.
Shaken? Stirred?
Shaken.
Wow,
look at
that. That was a really nice pour. And that's to the brim.
I hate these fucking glasses.
Because it's a martini glass or because it has no stem? I kind of like the low center of gravity of them. I think it's better
than... This shit is so stupid.
They're cute. They're like if Smurfs had martini glasses. Okay, what do you think?
first, I was holding on to the mic stand for stability. Okay. You see me? I was like
connected to nothing.
Like two hands, you know, like holding on to it tightly as I slowly reach out for my fucking cocktail.
You just needed to have the OSHA approved 3 points of contact. You had a hand, 2 feet planted.
I didn't have my harness. This is so good. Wow. Okay. I didn't expect this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I'm getting bright. I'm getting something a little dry, mildly floral. Interesting. The curacao has not taken over the entirety of the drink. And the grenadine, being literally half a teaspoon, does very little to affect the flavor, actually. It adds a little sweetness.
It adds just a touch. It's like it's
giving it a slight pink color.
It's the simple syrup additive where it doesn't like overwhelm. You're not just throwing a bunch of sweet, but it gives just the tiniest little berry depth to it, or I guess the pomegranate flavor. And it bolsters with sweetness, but it does not overwhelm the spirit nor the bitterness of the curacao, or in this case, Cointreau.
This is so good. Okay.
Dare I say, refreshing?
You know what? Mm. This gets the, was that in good taste? Stamp of approval.
Ka-chunk.
Ka-chunk. Delicious, easy to make. Okay, I mean, you take, what was it again? 1.5 ounces of white rum.
Mm-hmm.
0.75 ounces of dry vermouth.
Correct.
0.5 ounces of the dry curacao. We didn't have, so we used the orange curacao. Then the teaspoon, half a teaspoon of the grenadine, so shaken.
Let me ask you this. Does it make a difference the order in which you add ingredients in a drink that's as simple as this?
I'll say I don't think so. It depends on what the drink is.
Hmm.
Because if you take room temperature whiskey,
yeah,
and you place it into a warm shaker, and you introduce cold ice,
the ice is going to start to melt.
It's going to get a lot of water,
and it's going to transfer the heat from your hand easier than if
you put the ice first. Because you put the ice first, then the container will be chilled, which will partially also chill the whiskey faster when it comes in. Introducing less water.
You can kind of see here, you've been keeping this one on ice so that it's nice and chilled even after everything's been mixed together.
Because it's not delicious if it's warm.
So it seems like one of the key ingredients in this is the temperature.
Yes.
If you were to serve this drink in a bar, how would you accommodate that kind of essentialness of
it's easy. This you pre-mix this.
You have a pre-batched.
Yeah, what? Of course.
You pre-batch?
You pre-batch this. You keep the glasses in the fridge. There you go.
Yeah, that tracks. You just keep them in like the beer fridge? That's gonna take up a lot of room, especially if it's martini glasses.
Oh my fucking god! Like it's gonna be. How many cocktails do you think? It like
127.
10 will fit in probably like a, like that's like not even half a 64-ounce, like pitcher. You're telling me you can't put 32 ounces in the fridge? Yes, you can.
Okay, you could probably do like two pitchers that are like 32 to 48 ounces.
You know, like you'll be fine. It'll be cool. It'll be all right. It'll be Gucci. If it sells.
If it moves.
If it moves.
This is like a nice cocktail. I think this would be a great like event cocktail. Like if you were having an event where you wanted to have like a signature drink type deal.
Oh yeah, because
like
the bartender would make it every time.
Yeah.
You know, the bartender would come. You would come and it's like a row of bartenders, you know, and they have one beer, Sam Adams. Right.
Well, they might have. They'll have a beer. They'll have a light beer.
Yes.
They'll have like a red wine, a white wine. Usually, like a Sutter Home or a Barefoot or something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe a rosé, and then they'll have like two, fun cocktails that are like event coordinated. I'm kind of picturing that this is like a like an event for like the WWF. Like they're it's a gala and they're like trying to do fundraising to like help animal preserves, and then and so like this cocktail is the like bird of paradise or even the stop skinning Martin's martini, because Martins are hunted for their delectable fur, and this would be a martini that reminds you, hey.
Oh, look, it's batched.
Oh, that's terrific. And then you can just pour it out. And then you know what? You pour out this cocktail. Me, as a potential donor, as a potential silent auction participant, I'd be like, oh, the service here is amazing. And this,
I mean, because seriously, what do you do? Mm. Right? It's the vodka, the vermouth, the dry curacao, and the fucking grenadine. You literally just have them lined up right there. You have two drinks.
It's so sophisticated.
Like, it's two cocktails. And effectively, they're both going to be lined up like one of those syrup bays with the two things. So literally, you can build a cocktail like this. One, two, three, four. That makes it be like really fast.
You don't even have to do that. You could just have like the dry vermouth and the other stuff already pre-batched, and then just have the syrup. And
I think it's fun. It is fun to do the whole cocktail, but it's not hard to do.
That's true.
You know,
and it definitely gets me in the mood to drop like probably 15 grand on a painting done by an elephant.
Done by an elephant.
Yeah, the elephant has the paintbrush and is like, well, what? Because of the, it's their nose.
It's like every time, it's like the handler's like, oh, Charlie, the elephant painted another painting. And it's like an okay painting, but because an elephant painted it, it's like amazing.
Like it's I mean,
and turns out it's her painting.
That's how they get to move their own paintings. So I married an elephant painter.
Haven't we all?
What are your thoughts, feelings, opinions on this drink as far as like what it evokes deep in your soul? Where do you see yourself?
It's interesting. This is not the kind of drink that I think that I would order. But this is definitely the kind of thing that I can see a lot of. Like, we have a friend.
We have a friend.
I'm going to call her Jay because I think that's funny.
Her name is Jay.
She would love this shit.
She'd love this shit. I tell you what. She'd drink this drink.
She'd drink it?
She'd drink it down and go to town.
Wait. Can I have some?
You can drink this drink with me. We will fly upon the sky. It's that kind of drink.
I can have this drink.
This drink.
And to I say to my brothers in the land, we fought for this day. We live, we stand. Freedom.
To the crown.
Alexander Hamilton. Disney's gonna get us.
Oh, for sure. If we're gonna get got.
It's a matter of time. So.
Well, that's a fine.
Okay, I'm done with the bed. I'm just kinda.
Oh, finally. My dogs are barking.
There we go. Now let's see if anybody steps in it. All right, so this week, the minute that I saw this document, I got super excited because to me, it just screams pedantry.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like, how pedantic can we get? Buckle in, kiddos, because here we go.
So this episode is a fine how do you do, where we discuss the minutia and orders of operations of mundane life. There's many ways to skin a cat, metaphorically speaking. No cats were harmed in the making of this episode. So let's get down to it and describe and debate the way we do things that you don't think about doing. And to start us off, I got just one question for you, James, because this will be the amuse-bouche to this discourse. Ooh. When you walk into the shower, when you step into the shower, you start soaping up. What do you start with first?
So, there's two ways to approach this question.
There's two schools of thought when it comes to... Yes, what is school number one?
When it comes to showering, there are a few schools of thought. One is the get yourself damp, moist, and or wet method. I personally think that this is the work of mad people, but hey, if you want to walk directly into the shower, get yourself wet before you soap up, that's on you. I personally dip my arms. I give my arms a little lather. That's like dipping my toe in the water.
Uh-huh.
Then I go arms.
Yeah.
Then I go like body, you know, torso.
Uh-huh. In the water first?
No, I stick my arms in. I get like a little soapy. I gotta get acclimated.
Are you washing yourself at the? Are there parts of you that have soap on them but not yet water?
No, when you introduce the soap to your body, you're also like introduce. Here's the thing, you duke yourself a little bit damp because there's natural humidity in the shower. And my shower is still hitting me and splashing me a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I just don't go under the water and give myself a head-to-toe wet first.
You don't know? Do like a precursor rinse down?
No. Because
this was just an amuse-bouche question. This was not supposed to spark just interrogation, but now I have questions. You don't get completely wet first before...
I love taking showers. But when I take a shower, every time I take a shower, which is every day, I take like an hour-long shower because I have a hard time transitioning
from
the outside temperature.
You grew up in a place that wasn't in the middle of a drought.
No, never. I literally have never had that problem. I have an issue moving from the room temperature to the shower temperature, which is less, but coming from the shower temperature, I'm about to fuck you up. I do not leave the bathroom unclothed.
What?
I dry off in the fucking bathroom. And I get dressed in the bathroom because it gets so fucking cold in my house.
But aren't you wet as you put the clothes on?
I just said I dry myself off.
No, but the steam from the shower is there and like there's just ambient moisture and humidity.
You can turn the shower off.
Yeah, but the humidity still.
How humid is your apartment? That like after you turn the shower off, is it like 10 minutes later?
You the have the door is, like, closed,
clanging to the fucking walls. No,
you don't. Well, how hot do you get your shower?
Pretty hot, actually.
And there's no like just ambient humidity.
No, there is a little bit, but like
the
you
moisture.
Dry yourself off, and you're like dry, and the air is just a little humid. And then you put on maybe some shorts and a shirt, maybe your slippers. You know, it just gets cold in here.
But you're not getting like, well, do you have a robe? Have you ever been a robe person?
I do not have a robe.
I have a robe, never been a robe person.
I would love a robe. I think I would love a robe. Honestly, if I had a robe.
You strike me as
a
robe person.
I probably would not get dressed in the fucking bathroom. But it's just, I'm cold. Okay?
Oh,
it's not unreasonable. I'm not fucking doing it because I'm like, this is the best way to do it. I do it because I get out the shower and I'm so fucking cold. And then if I go in my room, it's like I just cannot deal with the shift in temperatures. It makes me all shaky and shit. I can't deal with it. Okay?
I
wash my arms first.
You wash your arms first.
It's not on purpose, but your hands touch the soap.
So you start hands and then go work your way up?
Yeah, because the soap is there and I'm lathering. So I start lathering the loofah, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm lathering the loofah. And then every time I lather the loofah, I go, well, you know, because when I was a kid, I remember one time I had like dirt here. And it was like really grimy and I felt like I took a shower. And it just was like gross. So every time I shower, I'm like, okay, I'm like lather it. And I'm like, you know, let me just make sure I get a little scrub here. Because I feel like you might miss that, you know?
I actually stopped using a loofah. I used to use a loofah.
Could you say you use your hands?
Well, yeah, and a bar of soap. But I prefer an exfoliating bar of soap. But the problem is I'd use a loofah and it wouldn't exfoliate so much as I would just like scratch the shit out of my, like it would be too abrasive.
Your hands, Chandler?
No, with a loofah.
I'm saying, but now just your hands in a bar of soap?
Yeah.
Your hands cannot like maintain the suds. You're like wasting suds. It's not that it doesn't work.
But that's what the bar of soap is for.
It's not that it doesn't work. It's that it's less effective. You're wasting soap. Because as the soap is developing the foam, right?
Mm-hmm,
it's washing away. Whereas the loofah or your sponge or even, God forbid, a fucking washcloth, if you're doing that, you're a fucking maniac. It's like retaining some of the unused suds. You just have the bar in your hand. You're literally allowing the water to just wash away your money.
Well, no, I start off, I jump in, I both feet first, I leap into the shower, I bound into the shower. I've only hurt myself a handful of times doing this, but I immediately full stream of water, which is rough sometimes because my apartment's water heater, it's like a tankless water heater, and it doesn't always kick on right away. So I'm like, I'm about sternum deep.
You get in the shower before you check the temperature.
And I'm like, oh, this is cold. Whoa. And then I leap back out the shower. And sometimes I'll grab a towel and then I'll go check the tankless water heater to make sure that it's.
I see this, by the way, very 100%.
It's just a madman sprinting down a hall. And, you know, you see if it's all right. And then you're like, okay, it's good. And then I leap back into the shower. And by this time, hopefully the hot water is turned on. And it's and it's revving and it's going. And then, like, full body, head to toe, wet. Like, first, I just kind of sit there. And you know, like when you just kind of sit and, like, you put your arm up against the wall. And you just kind of let it rain down you for a little bit while you think.
What is happening?
And you're just like, another fucking day. And then you get fully drenched. And then you're like, okay. And then you hop back. You want it hot, hot, hot. Or you do it. You start it really hot. And then you go progressively colder until you start to feel something. And then you turn it back to hot. And
what are you looking to feel?
Anything. And then you think about life a little bit, and it's like how you're like, why? But then you're like, I guess. And because otherwise they win. And then you start to soap up, right?
You shower like a movie character. He's like in the shower after like a long night of sleeping, his head rested on his, as the weight of the world is washed off of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though he like didn't really do anything the day before, somehow. Like around him, the filth is like lifted from his body. You know,
it's a spiritually cleansing shower.
Cleansing,
and then I start. I'll take the bar of soap and I'll get all soapy. Blah, 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 and I'll have it usually in my left hand. Actually, no, wait. Oh, I start right hand and I go left armpit and I go soap left armpit, soap chest, right armpit. Switch again. Go down and
so you wash your hands first.
I wash my hands first, but then I go. I'm like body wash. Because
do you think there are people who lather not in their hands, but there's like a person who takes the soap, rubs it on a loofah, and then they start lathering it up on their shoulder like in a commercial. Like they put,
yeah.
They put the body wash directly on the loofah, and then they don't even squeeze the loofah or anything. They just
Wait,
put the loofah on.
You have to give it a couple courtesy squeezes just to like.
No squeezes. No
just
squeezes.
To get the scrubbing bubbles going. They just go direct. Like you
there has to be.
You can't go dry loofah onto shoulder. Otherwise, you're going to just like shear off
here's
your
the thing,
skin.
Though, you don't really like loofahs. You're like, it's like scratching you up. Me, I love a fucking loofah. I'm scrubbing. I'm getting in there.
Oh, it irritates my delicate skin and pores.
God, and like I said, this is an amuse bouche. Keep going. All right, I'm loving this. You're learning.
So one of the obvious kind of ones that I thought would be a good example is like with cereal, because we all kind of know, we all know that you do cereal first.
There's that famous TikTok from Stephen Johnson where he goes, if I did good, I played it. If I didn't do good, I didn't play it.
Okay, and
it's
then
it's the one. It's like they're talking about putting milk in, or cereal first, and it's obviously cereal first.
That's obviously cereal first.
It's
but
obviously cereal.
But
first.
Why is it cereal? So that's the obvious one. But now let me ask you this:
it's obvious why.
Oatmeal, you do water first, then heat it up together. If it's like an instant oat, like a packet oatmeal, or do you boil your water, pour it into the oats?
If it's instant, you're supposed to boil the water first. You're supposed to. If you don't, it gets all gummy because it gets all gluteny because it gets overworked. And then that's why it gets gummy.
But if you do it cold water and you do a little overwater it, you stir
it
up.
Is it instant oats? No, because instant oats are like
it's like
par-cooked. They're par-dried. They're cut really thin. You want to cook them kind of as quickly and delicately as possible because they'll get gummy. And that's just because that's how they're made. They're made for you not to fucking do that. They're made for you to take the boiling water, pour it over it, and it'd be done. Why would you do it? It's literally made to do that.
Because sometimes you're at work, and all you have is a microwave, and so you, like, you go,
yeah,
you go,
that's not the same as the way it's, you're like, oh, I'm in the office, so I don't have time to, I'm making Lunchable,
instant oats.
You're making Lunchables at work, right? You're making the pizza Lunchable. You discovered on TikTok that you're supposed to fucking heat it up, apparently, in the microwave.
Heresy.
But
trickeration. I swear to God, if anyone's heating up a Lunchable, you don't understand the principle of a Lunchable.
But it's not wrong to like be at work and be like, oh, well, I can't slowly saute some onions, sliver some garlic, you know, introduce, like, you know, that's not wrong because you're at work and you don't have time to, like, you know, do it the right way. You get a fucking half an hour, you're gonna like heat, you're gonna get a separate vessel, heat up the water, then if the water not be hot enough, put it back in the work microwave because it's not strong enough, then like another 5 minutes heating up the water, then it's like too hot, so you have to wait for it to cool down a little bit, so actually it's probably not hot enough to fucking cook your oatmeal. So then you pour the water in your fucking oatmeal, and then the oatmeal's not fully fucking cooked. You got to put it in the fucking microwave anyway.
You end up having to still microwave it.
Okay.
So I say you add water first and then microwave it. That's my just opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
That's silly. That's an amuse bouche.
When you're in a situation, say you just get out of an Uber or a Lyft or some other rideshare service, and you check your pockets to do your things check. What do you look for first? What do you verify first? Wallet, phones, keys.
Phone, wallet, keys.
You go,
come
phone,
on,
wallet,
you already
keys.
Fucking know it's phone, wallet, keys. And you know it's phone, wallet, keys because of some weird, arbitrary, unknown, difficult to explain verbal English fucking linguistic shit.
Well, the way you say it, yeah. But in the way, like, you actually checklist in your head, like,
but
what do you...
Why wouldn't I do it the way that I say it? I'm going to go in my head, phone, wallet, keys. Then I'm going to check for the keys. Then the phone, then the wallet.
See, I'll say, like, out loud or out loud in my head, phone, wallet, keys. But I'll check my keys first and then phone and then wallet.
I think.
So, like, I'll zigzag across because I keep my keys on a carabiner on my belt loop. And so I'll, like, boom, bop, boom. And I'll, like, zigzag across me and kind of do, like, a little.
Wallets last for both of us because, no.
Well,
because keys will last for me because if I have my wallet, I'm good. If I have my phone.
Oh, if I have my keys, I'm fucked. Or if I don't have my keys, then I know where my wallet is. If I don't have my wallet, it's in my house. And so I better have my keys. You know, I better have my keys.
I guess I don't really, like, I've had the same keys for, like, 15 years now. I don't lose my keys.
And you have, like, an elementary school janitor's key ring.
I have a lot of keys.
You got a lot of keys.
Got a lot of keys. I don't lose any keys.
You have a lot of keys, and you have a lot of like pseudo keys where they're not like they're like fobs or like
no, I have
like little key tags.
No, that's mine and hers. She has a key. She doesn't have the key. I have the key.
Major key alert.
But it's for her. It's for her. It's my mother's key.
But what about the other keys?
My mother's house.
But what about the other one?
That's you know whose old house.
But and then the other one?
That's my bike.
Oh, but what about the one after that?
That's my gym lock.
And the one, like two more after that.
That's for the front door, but it actually doesn't work anymore because they changed it, but it's still for the trash. Come on.
No further questions. So what actually instigated this whole episode idea was I was watching an episode of another podcast where they had a discussion that I was like, I've heard this discussion before. And that discussion triggered a flashback in me to a time during Little League Baseball where I overheard a discussion amongst coaches about swamp ass, how to prevent it, how it occurs. And one was saying to the other that his method for wiping his ass was to wrap like half a roll around his hand until he had a mitten of toilet paper. And then he would just scoop, like repeated scoops, like scoop, maybe shed some off.
How much was he shitting?
Scoop, shed some off. Or like just like in multiple wipes, maybe not scoops. I don't know. Like that's.
You think he's like shitting into his hand with each. You think he's like, instead of shitting into the toilet, like he misheard his mother when he was a child.
You gotta catch it, otherwise it'll splash. Oh God. And so he was wiping his ass with one mitten, one toilet paper mitten, and then that would be it. It would just be the one and done, because he'd use like so much of the roll to get through. And the other guy was like, "Well, no, you do like the bunch method, where you get a couple, like you bunch it up, and then it's like a confetti cannon, kind of." Up there.
You don't fold it into perfect squares.
So what I've developed over years of trial and error is I'll probably measure out, depending on the ply, it's all contingent on the ply. If you know, you know. Like the strong ply ones, you only need about like three or four. If we're like being serious, where you take it and you kind of fold, and you have like a patch.
I'm on the edge of my fucking seat.
But in like the lower, once you get into the lower plies, especially if you're in a public bathroom too, this is important too. Depending on how much toilet paper is available and the situation in which you can get more. Because, like, in certain, like, park bathrooms, they just got those big-ass rolls. Or, like a gym, they just got, like, the 2.5-foot fucking just thimbles of toilet paper. You go. Then you do, like a half mitt of, let's say, like, 8 squares. If it's a single ply, right? And then you can kind of maneuver into a way in which you have, like, like it covers the part of the hand that's doing the deepest work, but you're able to utilize, like you maximize surface area while minimizing the invasiveness, I guess. Because you're not doing full hand. You're not.
Are you afraid you're gonna slip a fist at your asshole?
No, I'm afraid about not afraid, but it's the tensile strength of the toilet paper, because if I got every finger because it's not a surface area problem, because there's give. Like if there was an issue with surface tension, then I'd be like, oh, you'd kind of want to bear claw it. But it's not a surface tension issue. It's just something might slip. Some drapery might slip, and it's getting a finger in the asshole is not my concern. It's getting poop finger when it could be avoided. And that's it. It's just avoidable, minimalizing avoidable instances of.
I just can't stop laughing because you're like, over, me personally, well, first, I have to take my watch off.
Oh, yeah, that.
Because, right. And then I just get like the whole forearm and I just kind of give it like a.
Wait, with your right hand?
Yeah.
The whole forearm? Do you mummy wrap your entire. Wait, do you like.
Just skin on ass. You know, you just gotta get for it. And I have long arms too. Look along the forearm. Tell me it's not effective. And if I need more than one wipe,
you got the other side of the forearm.
Other side of the forearm. I just can't imagine. That's a strange way to wipe your ass.
It's a methodic. Oh wait, are you talking about the mitten?
Yeah, that's.
Right, I was. I still remember it to this. It is 15.
You're just
years
overthinking.
Later.
You are just overthinking a normal thing. You're just like sitting in the bathroom counting. He's like in the bathroom with a notebook. Ah, two ply. Two ply. Two means I must have six squares, but I have to fold the squares in half.
Factor in the equation. Means that carry the two.
12. Actually have
you got to take into consideration the velocity of flush, because if it's one of those like older toilets that just kind of like it has to hit a maximum.
You want like a government building, like a we're
oh,
just
yeah.
suck, we're just like
oh my god, I love those.
Take a dead body, just take it. You just like just the butt, you just like the plunger, the arm is like sticking out, and just like
and it's just gone. It's just, like one of the it's a like a drive-through bank vault type
it's
of.
It's my optimal way of hiding bodies.
That's preferred. And the smaller you can dice them, the
Chase
easier.
Chase preferred way of hiding bodies. You just take them to the Chase, put them in the tube. And just
done.
Oh, my God. Shit shower shave.
I had one more question regarding.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Sit or stand?
I mean, at home, I sit.
In my last apartment, the toilet was too small to sit, and so now I've just gotten back in the fashion of standing to wipe. And sometimes, you know what really helps? Propping up a leg.
You know what kills me?
What kills you?
Oh, okay. So on TikTok, there's a whole thing, right, about women being like, men go to the bathroom, they use a urinal, and shake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you wash your fucking hands. But they're like, they didn't even wipe their dick. Can I say that whilst if there's stuff happening, tissue can get used. Tissue is not like a foreign object in the bathroom for a man.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to say that until you shower, just rubbing the piss into yourself really isn't that much cleaner. I'm just saying, you're still doing the same thing. You just gotta fucking like clean. Also, I don't like urinals. I don't like these public bathrooms either. But I'm just saying.
No, you're right. Why don't we normalize just having like a little bit of toilet paper right next to the urinal where
you
can dab yourself?
Here's the thing. I usually sit when I'm at home because I would just try to use the phone and stuff, you know? I don't like to use urinals and shit. I just have fucking the images of like fucking. Like splatter all over the place from like a fucking documentary I watched like 15 years ago.
Well, that's because you have to hit the angle. You have to hit the urinal where it starts to arc.
Even
like
if you don't see it.
But that's a 45 happening. Degree angle. You gotta. Have you never played a game of pool? You never played a game of piss pool.
Is it sitting out there? You think there's a person out there? Okay, for people who do not use urinals, right? This is a urinal, okay? A urinal is a porcelain kind of standing toilet. It can sometimes be elevated from the ground.
Or it's a trough.
Or it could be like
a trough. I kind of like a trough, but I don't like the not privacy of a trough.
That's so weird.
It's weird to like just be, I don't know, have no kind of privacy when you're pissing.
All urinals are not the same, but they all have a similar function, right? There's a thing on the bottom, you pee. And it's always kind of flat. and it goes into a little slope. It's like a thing in the bottom.
A urinal cake, usually.
Can you imagine a person going to a urinal and just pissing straight?
Just like... It would bounce. It would... That's the other thing.
Who taught you? Do you remember being told?
How to piss in a urinal?
Yeah. Do you think you just got a face full of piss one time?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a trial and error thing where, like, sometimes you just piss so hard and then you're like, well, we're just going. We're not aiming. We're just... And then it immediately... And you're like, God damn it.
You're just doing the butters. It gets stuck to your belly button. You're not paying attention to shoes.
Oh, hamburgers. And it sucks, too, when you, like, when you first... Before you learn about, like, the trap door in the underwear kind of deal, and then... Because I'm going to be honest.
Who uses that?
When I have a shirt tucked in that I don't want to have to retuck it. Like, when you got a shirt tucked in, belt, and all that jazz, it's easier to just do, like, a...
You don't just retuck everything? Okay.
No, I hate to retuck everything.
I'm the guy that's in the bathroom, my hand dug down my...
No, I don't like to do it, so sometimes I'll do, like, belt still on, unbuttoned zipper. I just need clearance from the zipper, really. Is that too much to ask?
No.
It's just...
No, those pants. One leg at a time?
Oh, when I put on pants or when I piss my pants? Because I'll try to piss both legs at the same time.
You don't. You just hang in the middle, try to get it equally.
Yeah. Just like, or like you said, you kind of face it upwards so you get a Bellagio fountain. Pants, legs at times. You know what is fun, and it's not an often treat. It's not often.
Not often.
But when you have, like, some big baggy sweatpants and, like, the night before you had taken them off and you, like, they're the kind that kind of just loop around your ankles so you have to put your thumbs in order to, like, get your foot out. But you do that at the same time. And so it looks like the next day when you wake up, the pants are right there and it's, like, perfectly outlined as if, like, you just got raptured from that position and they went. And then you step into them and you don't all the way get your heels through. But, like, you get your tootsies through. And so then you pull them up at the same time. And then you just kind of do the little, like, yoink, yoink. And then both heels pop out.
You mean perfect pants.
Perfect pants. You get a perfect pants Monday.
Yeah, perfect pants. And that's where, what an amateur, okay? Obviously, you have to slope your feet at, like, a 45-degree angle.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to scoop. That's how you
slope and scoop.
Right. That's how you get yourself into it, right? Then you can actually go with... Depends. I have long arms, right? It's genetic advantage. Good for something, right? Then reach down, just grab up, pull them up.
Yoink.
One hand.
One hand, two pants?
One hand.
Wow. What does kind of throw it off is when there's a short crotch in the pants, so you end up just kind of credit carding yourself.
Oh, no. No short crotch. No short crotch.
No short crotches here.
I need room for my hoagies.
We need a ample floor space, you know. We need a basement in these things.
It's a place,
you know,
it's a place to put my chestnuts, to hoard my little goodies, to put my little snacks.
It's where I keep my winter's stash of. I killed it, didn't I?
you hop into your pants, both legs at a time, like everybody else.
Well, no, I do it just so I could feel special about myself. I'm like, this is some real main character energy right now. Everyone else is getting their legs one pant at a time, and I'm over here ahead of the game, waking up at 1:30 p.m. thinking, I saved so much time putting these pants on.
Now that I've got...
No one can touch me.
Now that I've gotten into these pants, I could go to the bathroom, and then I can maybe lay back down.
Yeah, then I'll take a little nap because I had an eventful morning. So that brings me to what's next in that order of operations. Coffee.
Okay.
Do you poop before you have a coffee? Or do you use the coffee to help you poop in the morning?
Interesting. I don't really think about it like that. I don't really have, that's not really, you know, but.
You don't plan your day around a coffee shit?
But coffee is a diuretic. It gets, in what it is it doesn't get it loose. It's the caffeine is getting your body excited.
Yeah, it does.
So your intestines and stuff start going.
They're all happy to poop.
You know, look at these happy little crackers going right through your intestine system. Right? You know, just all those rets just straight through.
And they're just like, oh, here we go.
A little poopy dance.
Are you talking about all the little snacky snacks I have before going to bed?
Yeah.
Which that's another thing. Some people are going to tell you, have all your snacky snacks before you get into bed. Don't listen to them. You know, if you want a cracker, a saltine, a very crumbly little snacky snack to have, eat it in bed.
Who's pooping before they have coffee, though? Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. Is while I don't go out of my way to go, I'm going to have coffee and then poop. I don't know. I just feel like because coffee's a natural diuretic, right? Like it gets you going.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I like to like, I don't know. It just feels weird. It doesn't sound right. It just sounds wrong. It feels wrong.
Well, that brings me back to what we started talking about earlier is the shit shower shave combo. Because if you think about morning routines, the optimal way to go about it, in my opinion, is you have your coffee, you instigate poop, you have your shit, you take a shower after the shit, and then, oh, here's where I get tripped up. I never know whether or not to shave before or after. Because sometimes I'm like, if I shave before, then I can hop in the shower, kind of shake off all the shavings. If I shave after, I'm like, I can do the skin routine, I can do like all the moisturizing, I can condition.
Spend a lot of time thinking about mundane things, huh?
You know I'm unemployed.
I know.
You know I don't have a job.
I'm thinking, I feel like I never really think about that, but I feel like you just, obviously, you're not going to use the bathroom after you fucking shower. What kind of chaotic fucking weird shit is that to be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a shower, and then I'm going to have some coffee. Because I know the coffee makes my tummy a little weird and it's going to make me take a shit.
Well, sometimes you need to wake up with a shower. Like, that's just, oh, I'm going to wake up, hop in the shower. That's just what I'm going to do.
And before then, you use the bathroom?
You're going to pee. Do you pee in the shower?
I don't like to do that.
You don't like to or you don't?
It's not really something I'm interested in.
You don't do it or you don't like to do
that's
it?
That's something I'm interested in doing.
But that's not what I asked. You say you don't do it or you don't like to do it.
No, that's not something that you'll find me doing.
Ever?
That's not the kind of thing that I do.
So are you saying you take premeditated measures to pee before getting into the shower?
I'm just saying that I use the bathroom like a regular normal person at normal times of the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just don't find myself like in the shower going, oh my God, you know what I forgot to do? Take a shit. I guess I'll just go right here.
Well, there's a difference. There is a difference.
I'm saying, I don't shit in the shower.
Taking a shit in the shower.
I definitely don't shit in the shower.
And having to waffle stomp it down. And there's a difference between that and just, you know, you got to pee a little bit.
I'm not interested in doing that.
And then you take the shower head and you just. Or you pee as close to the drain as possible, and then...
These are things that I'm not interested in doing.
Did you know that uric acid helps cauterize calluses?
I had one on my foot once. I mean, I did not know that. Is that really a thing?
That is a thing. You know what causes a lot of calluses for people in their active youth sports? I'm telling you right now, a lot of people I know who played youth sports, they pee in the shower.
Are you fucking talking about Ocho?
What?
Did you not see this?
Did Chad Ochocinco talking about?
He's talking about
peeing
how
in the shower.
His secret was first of all, I don't even know who the fuck. I don't even know who the fuck he is. Out of nowhere, he's like a football player or some shit. I guess
you don't know about Chad Ochocinco.
He's just like a fucking. He's just like him and is it Chad Smith? I don't know, fucking the other guy.
That's probably right.
I don't know. Whatever. He's just popping up. He's like, I don't know the footballers. I'm sorry. And he's talking about his secret. His secret was that he would pee and after the games, he'd put his foot in it, and sometimes he wouldn't have enough pee, so he would get his teammates' pee.
To piss on his feet? Hot.
Good old piss foot Chad Ocho. Is that his name? Chad Ocho.
Chad Ocho Cinco.
Why is his name?
Actually, I don't know. He might have dropped the Cinco. I don't know.
I just know him as Ocho.
He was a wide receiver for the Bengals.
Was he good?
He was very good.
Because he talks like he's good.
He was very good at a time.
This was like 50 years ago?
No. This was like 8 years ago, maybe? It was like...
For a time. 8 years ago.
He was like... Like him and like the Reggie Bush era and like somewhere between like the Reggie Bush, Adrian Peterson era. But they were both running backs. So like it's not the same. Randy Moss era, kind of like near the end of that. Does that ring a bell for anything? Uric acid helps with the with calluses. To do with that what you will, you know.
So you have a callus. Piss on your foot.
Or if you have a callus on your hands, just
if you're a wrestler and you have a callus following you to the ring, piss on him.
That's true. Especially if it's one of those that just keeps recruiting all of your underlings. what other orders? Here's the orders of operations.
Pasta first, then spaghetti.
Wait, what? Pasta is spaghetti.
I mean, sorry, pasta then sauce.
Oh, pasta then sauce. Do you do them separate or do you do like in a whole?
I mean, I prefer to do them separate, but that's trauma. Well.
All right.
Like, I'll bite. I'm kidding.
How do you want me to respond to that?
That's so funny. It's so funny. It's not even that funny, trauma. When we were a kid, it's like you try just the sauce. You just mix it in with the pasta. I kind of didn't like it that much when I was a kid because it was all mixed in. And it was like kind of dry.
Mm.
What, is it also getting beat with pasta? Like walking to school, people were taking pasta sticks.
Honestly, where I thought you were going to go with it was like, you know, with pasta and sauce separate, but they're never equal, like kind of thing. Like, I thought you were going
with
it.
Why is everything race with you?
Because I thought you were referencing generational trauma.
Oh, my God. Everything with you is race. You know, I don't see color.
Well, in that case... Wait. No, but I think, like, in an optimal, like, orders of operations kind of morning... I have myself convinced that, like, once I figure out how to actually have a morning routine rather than just waking up after noon...
Ah, so you mean once you get your get up, 5 minute cold shower, 15 minute half a banana.
Uh-huh. Which half? I'll never tell.
15 minute run.
Mm-hmm.
Hearty breakfast.
You forgot about a HIIT cardio that focuses on core exercises, so I can get that sweet.
I'm sorry, you're doing that. You're doing that as you're answering your emails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
While you're boiling your water to go in your oats.
And I'm also listening to Alexa tell me affirmations on my Echo Dot.
Today, you will be a rising flower. You are strong. You are beautiful.
You will capture the sun and learn it to the ways of yours.
Something in your shopping list is 50% off. Would you like to hear more?
You will buy the moon one day, and then everyone on the moon will have to bow down to you. You know,
tell me more.
Your daily affirmations.
Is that the kind of is that what a white person affirmation looks like? Hold on. Okay, order of operation. Okay, it's the 1990s. Okay, I'm a comedian. Okay, black person morning versus white person morning. Okay, A white person gets up out of bed like this. A black person gets out of bed like this. Hey, yo, I'm awake.
God damn it.
What's some more?
White people take a shower like this. Oh, I'll just use a bar of soap.
Oh my God. Actually, I'm like, okay, how about this? This is how you know when, because we start derailing. Okay, so I just discovered that there's a huge thing about black people feeling the need to be clean because of racism.
Oh, uh-huh. Classic racism.
Which is why you be seeing black people all to the nines, smelling good, extra clean. You know, you just got it. It's just living up to the expectations.
Oh, because of the internalized racism.
Now, here's the thing I notice.
Yeah.
I know chest, you know. You didn't mention legs.
I get to the legs. They're just last on the list.
Do you actively wash your legs?
Yeah.
Actively washing is not allowing soap and water to run down your legs.
I actively wash my legs.
That is a movie.
Okay, the only part I don't actively wash is the bottoms of my feet. And here's the reason. I will passively wash them. And if I do have calluses on them, I will wash them post-haste.
With piss.
But there's a little fear in me that, like, statistically, if I wash the bottoms of my feet every time, and every time after I wash the bottoms of my feet, there's a second of, like, I have no traction. Oh, my God. Statistically, if I do that every time, one of those times, I'm going to slip and fall and die in the shower. Is that not a valid fear?
I feel called out because I realize that I also do not actively wash the bottom arch of my foot. But can I say, I have an unpopular theory. Unless your floors in your house are so filthy, or you don't walk around in, like, slippers or whatever, your feet are only dirty. Your feet don't really get dirty. Your feet get moldy because they don't touch anything and they stay in the humid thing inside of your fucking shoes. Your feet aren't really dirty. How are they getting dirty? You fucking stomping around in fucking mud?
They're dirty because they're porous. They have so many pores.
Oh, okay. They have a lot of pores,
mm-hmm.
Right?
They're okay. The most porous part
are
of the body.
Are you shitting in your shoes? Are you, like, pouring food in your shoes? Okay, it's like the bottom of your fucking, literally, okay, I will say, I literally get the tops, I get the sides, because again, when I was a kid,
do you get
I
between
remember,
the tootsies? You do,
I
like,
do.
One of these
I do,
these
I always
numbers?
Do that, because I remember getting a little gunk here, I got a little gunk on my ankle once when I was a kid, and I remember that, so I always make sure I get nice and clean, a little scrub, try to get between the toes, but then I never, because you're right.
There's
like
that
the
second.
The minute you lift up the foot, it's a few things. You lift up the foot, it's like multiple.
You need your OSHA 3 points of contact.
If you lift up your foot, that's an opportunity. When you go to wash your foot, first of all, make sure you better have everything prepared before you get your mise en place in the shower.
Mm-hmm. Lest you go reaching
for a fucking bar of soap or a loofah while your foot's in the air.
And it's not where you left
that's
it.
That's how you get final destination.
Mm-hmm. That's how you get concussed in the bathtub. And even worse if it's a clawfoot tub and then you have like you fall out of the tub and then you have like that additional like little extra inch of fall. Oof. That's how you get got.
That's just how you get got.
That's how they get you. And so, yeah, I know the whole thing where it's like, oh, white people don't wash their legs. I wash my legs. Okay. So I'm one of the good ones.
You wash your ass.
Yes, I wash my ass.
You know, I hear people say that. They're like, oh, I dated a guy who didn't wash his ass. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm not even ragging on you. I'm not. That's chill. You're cool. Why would you date somebody who doesn't wash their ass? Like, what has had, like, seriously, I understand you might be dealing with some things. It might be difficult. Sometimes being alone is hard. How are you going to date somebody?
How do you not just get, like, rashes, chafing?
They probably do. And people be out here talking about eating ass.
That's wild. That's, I'm ruminating on that a little bit, and I'm kind of upset.
It's ruminating.
Be better, America. Let's see. We got a couple more little questions. A hill to die on. Which processes do you swear make something better than you will never give up?
God, that's actually really hard. It's so silly because you think about order of operation, right?
Yeah.
So there's always like a right way to do something. Like you mentioned coffee.
There's a right way and there's a not as right way.
And I just, I mean, really, this question was for me to ask you. This question was for me to ask you because I don't have one. Because I'm amazing. I'm perfect. Okay. Obviously, my coffee just has to.
Oh, tell me about your coffee process.
Okay.
Your coffee. Okay. Coffee.
So lately, I've been making an AeroPress. It requires 11 grams of coffee.
11 grams to the T.
Yes. Ground.
How ground? How fine? What's the gradient level?
A little finer than I would normally use for a pour over. Then what I do is I use 200s empty.
Fuck.
I use 200 grams of water. Okay. I allow it to sit for 2 minutes.
How do you measure this?
With a scale, a teared scale, obviously.
Oh, gross.
Give it at 2 minutes one brisk swirl to break up any of the loose coffee. I allow it to sit for 30 more seconds. I then apply pressure evenly for the next 30 seconds.
About how much PSI, if you were to ballpark it?
Go look at James Hoffman's videos on this. He set up an entire thing where he was able to get a pressure gauge to tell you how much pressure gets in there. It's pretty significant.
Mm. Do you like...
No, you don't really have to. It's not that much. No. Because honestly, I feel like if you take it and you push down really fast, you can. But you're actually not trying to disturb the coffee on the bottom too much. You know, you're actually just trying to, you know, extract the coffee evenly.
You're trying to incentivize it to extract.
Yes, you're not trying to. Because remember, you saw me earlier. I pushed too hard, and then what happened to the filter?
You pushed too hard, and it got so far. But in the end, it didn't really matter.
It didn't even matter. The filter scooched a little bit on the inside, and then popped a leak. And then the next thing you know, you get grinds and water in your coffee. And all of these things have a reason, okay? They are not arbitrary. And also, I think that you should fucking salt your pasta water, okay? And that...
Ooh, do you need to olive oil your pasta water?
So, why? I mean, you could if you want, but that doesn't do anything except for make the pasta slipperier and not stick to the sauce. I mean, what you really should do is you should keep about a cup of the pasta water, right? Then if you're going to be incorporating the sauce into the pasta, you can use the starchy sauce to help thicken that mixture. However, even if you're just making the sauce, I find that using that to help thicken the sauce does help it bind a little bit to the pasta. Maybe it's kismet. Maybe it's just fate since it came from it. It wants to be back where it came from. But it helps and allows the sauce.
It comes full circle.
To stick to the pasta. And that's how it is. That's the only way it is. And that's it. I refuse. If somebody comes to me and they're like, well, actually, you put olive oil in and it keeps from sticking. And I'm like, actually, it's only sticking because you're crowding the fucking pan and you didn't even separate the fucking pasta. Okay, you know what I found the other day in the supermarket? You know what I found?
What's that?
Pot-sized pasta.
Pot-sized pasta?
It's half-sized.
Huh?
So you don't have to break it. It's for people who have small pots. Because the problem is it gets all fucking clumpy because you put it in there and then it just gets stuck.
Yeah.
You have to break it apart, allow the water, okay? Because then you just create a starch mass on the outside and it creates a gummy consistency, okay? I am correct. Nobody else is.
And this is the hill he will die on.
Also, I got a lot of hills. I'll die on some hills.
Oh, I know you will die on some hills.
I'll die on some hills. What's the hill you'll die on? Oh, God. That joke in my head, not one I'll die on.
I would die on the hill. So I think one of the orders of operations that I've perfected is rolling a joint. And I think that they're, at least my science to it, I have an approach and a reason, and everything is done with an intention. And
so
I
roll a little broccoli stick.
The old Devis lettuce baton. And the way I do it, I think, is both unique to my style, right? But it's not necessarily everyone needs to do it, but it is like, if I'm teaching you, this is the most thorough, right way I'm going to teach. And so it all starts out with the crutch aspect, the little, like usually a cardstock of paper that creates a certain barrier between ignitable substances and
your lips.
Yeah. It's a filter, it's a crutch, it's a mouthpiece, it's whatever the fuck you want to call it. But you start with a piece of cardstock, usually about 3/4 inch wide by, let's say, 2, maybe 1.5 inches to 2.5 inches long. And the way I like to roll it is you fold over, right? You fold over without creating a seam. You create a loop, not a seam. You fold over a third, and then you scooch it back to about a fourth until you create a small semicircle gap within it. And then you fold that gap. You create a small seam at the base of that gap, to which then you roll back over, and you create a semi-springy. Like, it has a bit of sproing to it, and so you got to keep it taut. That's the part. You got to keep it taut, and it should look like, when you look through it like a kaleidoscope, it'll look like a yin-yang, or just like a zoom, zoom, zoom kind of thing in the middle of it. You feel me? Then you take your paper, and then you have it so that you fold it, and you're pinching the mouthpiece at the base of it with about a third to half of it sticking past the paper. So you want it to be jutting out just a little bit. Meanwhile, you take the paper, you hold it in your left hand with a certain amount of tension so that the mouthpiece still has a bit of spring tension within it. You then hold with one hand, you pinch, and you add your smoking herbs to the other side, and you fill in appropriately until starting at a volume that matches the circumference of the mouthpiece, maybe a little bit bigger, and then it kind of escalates near the end. So what you're going to do then is you're going to start to kind of roll the papers back and forth to create a little rocking motion in which you're shaping the detritus and the fauna. Flora, not fauna. Fauna is...
That'd be like a goat.
Yeah, you're just rolling goats, man. Until it's in an approximate shape of what you're going for. Then, while retaining tension on the mouthpiece, you're going to transfer it to the other hand and poke in the rest of the extending part. So that way it's flush with the paper. What this does now is it creates the tad bit of packed or compacted herb near the connection point between the mouthpiece and where the herbs begin, right? And what that does is creates a whole stability so that way when you're passing it around and stuff, it doesn't start to bow at that area. And then you slowly start to work and tuck, and it starts at the tuck at the mouthpiece. And it can be at a diagonal. You can have just part of the corner of the paper start to tuck in, so that way it develops a slight coning shape. It should start to look like a baseball bat as you start to roll. And then you don't even really have to do much tucking after rolling the first third of it, because you'll start to see where the gum line on the paper. That's the other thing. You want to keep the gum line away but facing you, where the sticky glue, gum, whatever, is facing towards you. And so you then guide it, and you can lick the outside of it to activate the adhesiveness of the gum in order to then create the rest of the shape. You can then use a small packing tool to push down, not too much. If you over compact it, it will make it difficult for oxygen to get through in the in the smokables, and then it will just it'll put itself out. It won't be able to burn as hot because it'll be too dense, and it won't be able to bring in enough oxygen to keep the ember burning at the heat and rate, and it's a whole ordeal. But if you manage to get those 18 steps down, then afterwards you're smooth sailing.
Super easy. You know what? I have a hard time finding any fault there. I do think that maybe perhaps you could pull back
two more, like
about half a centimeter when you're doing the filter. But, you know, that's just nitpicking.
You could. That one's where I just say, you know, take some artistic license.
Actually, I'm going to be real. I was having trouble. That's why. Because I was trying to line it up too perfectly with the paper. Then what happens is it gets shunted into the paper as you're rolling.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to give it a little bit of leeway.
Yep.
Oh, God. Look at I hate you were right.
And then once you get the gum line sealed up, you want to take the end part because it shouldn't go all the way to the end. If you have smoking substance to all the way to the end of the paper, you want to pack that down. Give yourself like half a centimeter at the most. You can even give yourself like a quarter centimeter. I know I'm switching to metric now, so folks at home, you're gonna have to follow me with the other side of your ruler. But you want to have just enough so that way you could pinch it with your either index or middle finger and thumb, and you're gonna want to just and just kind of rock it back and forth in your hands. And what that'll do is create a certain centrifugal force that'll send the herbs compacting ever so slightly down towards the mouthpiece. Now, here's the important part. The reason why we had to retain tension on the mouthpiece from the beginning is because at this step, the quick and easy compaction method, if you don't retain tension in your mouthpiece, it is going to fly out the other side. Think about it as a keystone and an arch.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking about it.
So you have your blocks that go all the way up, and then they start to go into a trapezoidal pattern. Now, the architecture, the physical ramifications of this is the pressure will be forced out in different vectors and in equally varying vectors at different angles, so that way you can still retain suspension. And so in doing so, you're kind of creating like a triangle, a cone falling into another cone thing, so where the base of the cone is too wide to exit through the base of the exit of the smaller cone.
This guy is the fucking master architect of fucking joints. Jesus. I got tired. I don't even want to roll that shit. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to sleep.
There is a science to this. There is a right way to do this. However, you have also been rolling a different kind of joint lately, and it's not my style, but it is still
good. It's a cigarette roller. So
it's still good. Yeah, you're just using a roller. That's my beef with rollers, is it takes the artisticness.
Get there now. Or we can be artistic about it.
Or we can actually put some goddamn thought into this and we can, like, make art together. Or, you know, you could just get a machine and get it manufactured.
We make art together.
I'm a little worked up.
I can tell. Oof. I'm a little worked down.
Oh, man. I was going. I just went a full beautiful mind.
Somebody knows their plant product.
No, I know physics, bro. I know geometry.
I cannot get him started.
There's a right way to do things, and then there's a not as right way to do things. Before we start wrapping up, do you remember what the actual orders of operations stand for?
You're talking about PEMDAS or whatever?
PEMDAS, yeah.
Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, which is actually kind of not correct, but that's...
What?
Yeah, but that's only because...
Wait.
That's only because it's like kind of... It's.
Well, I had to...
It's effectively correct, but like for elementary school, junior high school math. You know what I mean? Like,
well, no, it's not wrong. It's just a universally agreed upon.
There's complex magic math rules that don't look at me. I'm repeating things I heard on TikTok.
Okay, repeat them. Let me know.
I also have a math book. I was reading about this. Okay, leave me alone. Okay.
So PEMDAS, dude.
It is, but like those are all high level abstractions of more of deeper math rules. You know what I mean?
So.
The parentheses.
Parentheses.
Exponent.
Exponents.
Please excuse my multiplication.
Uh-huh.
Please excuse my dear division.
Mm-hmm.
Addition. Subtraction.
But the addition, subtraction, multiplication, yeah. And division are in their kind of, they're in their own brackets.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're meaning to tell me that that's all been bullshit
this whole time?
No,
it's abstraction, right? Because here's the thing. If you go into a situation, you're like, well, what's, would take one item and one item, put them together, you have two items, right?
Yeah.
But I guess technically, since the items aren't exactly equally shaped, they're not the same exact size, you might have 2.0001 of items, right? But it doesn't benefit you in everyday conversation to fucking just waste all your time talking about minutia or specificity when effectively, right, the rule basically just like works. But there's reasons why. So why do you do it in that order? What about the rules make you need to do it in that order?
Because those are the rules.
Why?
Because the parentheses just mean like, hey, buddy, hey, do this first. This
why?
Because sometimes if you do things not first, then it's like, that's not how this works.
But why?
Because of factorials.
Do you have to do it first?
Because factorials. Because
you don't have to do it first.
Because if you do like a, if you do a thing where it's like 8 - 4 squared. So you're going to be like, oh, okay, so it's 8 - 4 = 4 squared, that's 16. But then someone's going to be like, well, no, it's actually like 8² - 4² which is not 16. It is something else that is a different number.
12 × 12 = 144 And that's so, what I know.
And so instead you have to be like, well, because 64 - 16 isn't also 16. Instead, you have to be like 64 + 15 - 64 - 16 + 64 - 60. Wait, how to factor? No. Oh, damn it, calculus.
It's a headache.
Oh, and that's why we need orders of operations.
That is. It's not simply the rule to make it happen. It's to simplify.
It's because it's 8 - 4 × 8 + 4 right?
I lost the plot.
Fuck. God. Can I tell you I failed calculus without telling you I failed calculus?
I tell you I went to school for engineering and I've passed calculus multiple times.
You had to pass it multiple times? Nerd.
I know, right?
I don't remember all these things, but I know that there's reasons why we do things in certain orders. It's just sometimes, for the life of me, they go back to just being told I was supposed to do something in a certain order, and now I don't even know if what I know is why I know it, or if it's just a manufactured reason for why I know something that doesn't make any sense at all.
What if you're the one in front of the whiteboard and you realize that it's not PEM to MASS, it's MASS to PEM? Some extra letters in there too.
Pem Demolamos?
Because then you start.
It's Papadopoulos. Who knew math was Greek all along?
Longitudinal multiplication. You discovered it.
Whoa. I just found the fourth dimension. Suck a dick, nerds.
Dun, 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 dun. Futurama, because. I'm tired. Look at me. Don't look at me.
Should we wrap it up? Let's wrap it up. This has
This
has been Was That in Good Taste?
What's the wrong?
Now we know how we know what we know and why we know how to do it in the way that it's supposed to be done. And also, it's not always supposed to be done that way, but sometimes there's reasons why it's done in the way that it's done and not the ways that it's not done in the way that it isn't
done. What if it's done the way that you were told that it's done, and you realize the way that you were told that it's done is the wrong way to do it, but then you realize that actually the way you were told to do it was the right way in the first place?
But the reasons why you were doing it the way that it was done weren't the right reasons, but they were
the right things for the wrong reasons. Just like drinking is not always required.
But it is recommended.
All this fucking math. Oh my God.
We might have to orders of operations is better next time so that we don't just get wasted on these pseudo martinis.
Podcast first.
Podcast first.
Then cocktail.